Welcome to the 65th edition of the Gooner Podcast, recorded immediately after our previous one on the Monday after Arsenal's 4-4 away draw at Newcastle. Thanks as ever to
not
our sponsors.
It may be pointed
well, it
out.
Was almost immediately, and had it not been for a few interruptions that I couldn't control, and mistakes of my own, and somebody started talking about things they shouldn't have done,
but nothing to do with me, is it?
It actually feels like
blame someone.
No, you're quite right, Basti. I'm 100% blame for all of this.
It actually feels like the 67th edition of the podcast.
It is. It's the 70th.
Well, no, we have to tell everyone that the previous edition of the podcast we just had, which had you been here live in the room,
you would have enjoyed it.
Was Kev? Was someone didn't press record, so that's gone forever now. Never mind. It's in.
Call me Diaby, eh?
Yeah, we've got our own Diaby.
Yes, it's the great lost podcast.
Yeah. And thanks to our sponsors.
Goonershirts.com.
It wasn't their fault, by the way, at all. And because they're the website for all your quality cult Arsenal t-shirt needs. I'm your host, Joe Broadfoot. Call me Diaby. And still with me are the regular panellists, Mark Ollinson.
Woo!
Don Sebastiano.
Hello.
And the Highbury Spire, Steve Ashford.
Good evening, Englanders.
Well, Arsene Wenger has named Dragan Stojkovic as a possible successor. What do you think of that? Do you think that's a good idea, naming your successor when you're still in the job?
It's the first I've heard of it, actually. That's not me for six, that. No, it's not a good idea. And B, Stojkovic, no, hang on, who's he to say who we're going to bloody...
Well, Arsene Wenger, Arsene Wenger was his manager.
I'm just guessing.
He is the manager of Grand Prosecco.
Yeah, and he won the title in the J-League, so...
Yeah. So that makes him a great...
That makes him a great manager.
Stojkovic is a manager of Grampus 8. Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a non-question, wasn't it?
Well, they're called Nagoya Grampus now.
We just had an email in.
What's that got to do with Grampus 8? All right.
No, it's such a bad question.
It's from Aerosmith.
No, it's an email, and I'm going to do this because bloody hell, I did it before, but I'm going to do it again. This one's from South Africa, an email from South Africa, and it's from someone called Savage.
No, Tyler.
No, this is Savage, South Africa. Tyler comes later.
I thought we were doing the Aerosmith one.
No, that's later. The email says, I suggest that Arsenal's problems are in attack rather than in defence. Comment?
Comment. Call me when you're finished.
So, Steve, what do you make of that? Do you think Arsenal's problems are in the attacking regions or in the nether regions?
Which? Problems are in the nether regions.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
The fact that we've got to play Barcelona with two midgets at the back, because he's only great with Giroud.
He's not that short.
No, he's not that short, but he's great
midget
with Giroud.
You think he's a midget
in his psychology, is it?
Let's just say, when Giroud and Koscielny are playing together, Giroud takes the high balls,
Koscielny sweeps up, he's a footballer.
When he plays with Scalacci, no one goes for the high ball, and they're both trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, but what does Scalacci do? Nothing. What is his function?
He's crap.
Yeah.
So his function is to wear a short sleeve shirt when everyone, the captain says, in the Arsenal tradition, everyone wears a short sleeve shirt. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. And he has a long sleeve bodice underneath it. And that really puts the fear of death into oncoming attackers.
Yeah, but you wouldn't mind if he served you a beer in a sort of Bavarian
Cafe
beer
Rouge.
Garden?
No, Cafe Rouge. Oh, right.
I've heard the word bodice. In a bodice?
He is a Cafe Rouge waiter.
Didn't he on Saturday when they came out with short sleeve shirts in early February? In Newcastle, the coldest place in the bloody world, they've all trotted out in short sleeve shirts. Didn't you think then this is going to be a bit of a surreal day?
It was nine degrees. That's not cold.
I know, but a gale force wind making it minus 10.
Oh, grow up. Especially it's a man's game. We've got another email in from Tyler O'Meara from Canada. Yeah, Tyler O'Meara from Canada, and he says, I love the podcast. It's my favourite hour of the month.
Listening to the Canadian accent.
Oh, yeah, can't you just hear the difference?
Poor woman's going to be thinking, oh my God, they're taking the piss out of
me. How do you know it's a woman?
It's a bloke. Tyler's a bloke's name. Anyway, love the podcast. It's my favourite hour of the month, listening to two podcasts each month. You guys are hilarious.
It's very nice, but it does raise the question, is it quite a sorry, empty life and is the best hour of this person's month?
He lives in an igloo.
Okay.
Wait a minute, Mark. It was the best hour of my life when I was in Japan, but that's another story. Right, continue. Continue, Basti.
Big ups from Canada.
He lives in an igloo.
Thank you, his accent switched.
I would love if you guys would answer my question on the show.
Sure thing, Tyler.
So, here it is.
Okay, go for it.
Do you guys think that Chamakh and RVB can both start together?
No.
No.
Okay, that's that one answer.
Wait a minute.
No,
consider.
No.
All right, go on.
It's binary, yes or no. Two.
No.
Also, do you guys think that Craig Eastman has what it takes to get a place on the bench next season?
No.
If we are able to sell that fool, Danielson, we're all agreed, Danielson's
a fool. And we all agree, Eastman might be a better option.
Danielson is a complete twat. Maybe we can sell him to Spuds, and he can kill M from the inside.
Great idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yes, yes, we'll get Danielson as our man on the inside at top.
I think the only way we're going to get him in, though, is stick him in a wooden horse and wheel him through the gates.
Yeah.
And then just leave him there.
I think Harry would turn Danielson down, don't you? Yeah. I hate to say it. Harry is an Arsenal fan, by the way. Everyone knows.
Yeah,
he's grown up
that.
As an Arsenal
I've
fan.
Heard him say
if,
that.
If any Spuds are listening, your manager's a top gooner, right? And that's why... He might not buy Danielson because he knows better. Anyway, then okay, here go. The question goes on. Then would open up a spot for a holding midfielder, and instead of putting just as horrible Diaby back there, who we all agree is pretty horrible.
But bad English there, Tyler. You really got to work on your
could
grammar.
We have Eastman being the main backup? And again, just wanted to say that I love the show and I hope you guys are keeping up the good work.
Thanks, that's really good of you.
We're not keeping up the good work at all. It's probably the worst podcast we've ever done, but thank you anyway. It's very much appreciated.
It's funny, that was kind of like deja vu, that, wasn't it? Did you think that? You know, when you get that feeling you've been there before.
What, because someone didn't press the record button about half
an hour? Oh, who might that have been? Oh, Diaby again. Right, Graham Perry actually wrote this circular. It went out to all the people that mailed into the GoonerPodcast@gmail.com.
Who's Graham
and
Perry? Is he a listener?
Graham Perry is... I think we've got somebody to explain this. Kevin's going to explain this.
Graham Perry sends an email out to a list of people, and it's actually quite good. However, if you do wish to see what it's about, email into the GoonerPodcast email address and we will send you... We'll forward you the latest one. And if you want to subscribe, you can get in touch with Graham direct. However, the man is a bit of a sage, and his latest offering has a few interesting points, which our host is about to raise.
Is he a friend of yours?
For instance, about...
I've met him, he's a nice guy.
About Cesc Fabregas. I don't think I brought that up before.
Go and put the camera.
You know, in the previous edition when I didn't press the button that I should have done, and, you know, I didn't get sent off. The question is Cesc a real skipper, is he?
Yeah, of course he is. He's a very good... Who else would you have?
Can I just say what Graham said first? Right, Graham Perry said, Cesc could possibly be trying too hard to be something he naturally is not, a captain.
I think he's been playing great, and I think he leads by example. He's a great captain. Don't listen to little twats like Danielson. Or Danielson misread by even bigger twats, as in the Sun newspaper, the paper that Steve reads, because he's got some leader's mentality. No, I'll tell you what, bottom line is, Cesc, he's the Don. Please God he stays with us for until the end of the season, the way things are going.
Yeah, I think great Cesc plan. Leads by example, to be honest, just because he never clenches his fist and... doesn't do the English captain thing. Yeah, I think he does lead by example.
But do you think the Arsenal team is too quiet?
Yeah, definitely. But I have to say,
who shouts besides?
I have to say,
even Fabregas, he shouts a little bit.
Shouts the entire
Chesney match. Shouts.
I have to say that I think Cesc let us down badly on Saturday at Newcastle. You know, when it got to 4-2, 4-3, you know, we should have really battened down the hatches there. And I think Cesc went into
the shell. He didn't let us down as badly as Diaby, though, did he?
No, but I think he went into a shell, which was...
If we had 11 players, we probably would have ended up winning that game, wouldn't you say, Steve?
I think Cesc was worried he was going to get sent off for any verbals whatsoever with the referee.
So basically, it wasn't contesting decisions. No, is that what you want to see from your captain?
That's probably because the referee told him one word out of you and you're off.
The referee was the most anti-Arsenal referee I've ever come across in my life.
And the linesman.
But it's not the first time he's refereed an Arsenal game, probably, is it?
All the other games we've come off badly with him as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Through bad decisions.
We need that bird that we...
we do.
On the line.
We do that.
That female lino. Yeah. That lino that got in trouble.
A female referee.
I mean, or did she?
Sorry, I don't want to end up like Andy Gray and what's his face, but having a female referee, God, that'd be good, wouldn't it, Steve?
Wouldn't it? Brilliant.
Good looking one.
But let's just content ourselves with the female linesman.
Okay.
Fit or not fit? What do you reckon?
Well, I know you would.
Everyone's
fit to you, mate.
She's a 10-pinder, isn't she?
I don't know. I think she's all right, actually.
So, what was your views about Richard Keys and Andy Gray? Should they have been sacked or not?
Well, there's a lot of it going on. Britain, health and safety Britain, politically correct Britain. There's a lot, you know, it will get to the point soon, you can't, on one level, you can't say anything anymore.
Don't tell me about it.
And on the on the other level, there is a bit of common sense and decency and all that. To be honest, I won't miss Andy Gray, because to be honest with you, he doesn't have to talk a lot of rubbish.
But you know what?
I wish they'd sack the ITV commentators, because ITV have got the worst, most anti-Arsenal commentary team in the world. Right? We know there's an Arsenal conspiracy.
Names on the ITV team.
What's his name? I don't. Anyone on ITV? Yeah. They're all of them. It's just bad journalism.
It's not about his ESPN. They've now got a thing where they introduce games from a little kind of studio on the pitch, like doing like foreign games, and they have a week. Steve McManaman, and who was the other bloke they had with him?
I do think though, having said all that, like, it's getting too PC. On the other hand, there is a thing in this country, right, a sort of arrogance and all that, like, what's his name said about Mexicans, Jeremy Clarkson.
He's
a twat, that Clarkson.
No, he's not.
He's one of you, isn't he? He's horrible.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, he's awful.
So Jeremy Clarkson, the Prime Minister.
You didn't think what Clarkson said was a racist about Mexicans?
I don't consider why are Mexicans a different race to us? Might be a different.
Listen, nationality. Once it's a joke, but you keep on going.
Might be a different nationality, but they're still Caucasian.
So what about Carlos Vela? Are you happy he's been loaned out? Talking to Mexicans.
Yeah, no, I'm not happy any Arsenal players have been loaned out. They should all be here playing for us.
No, not Vela.
Haven't we got a 28-day return clause, for want of a better word?
Aaron Ramsey at Cardiff.
We can get him back after 28 days.
Lansbury
at Norwich. Emmanuel
Thomas. Carl Bartley at Rangers. Emmanuel Thomas at Cardiff.
Funny enough, the Carl Bartley one upsets me a lot.
You're not telling me that all of those players couldn't do a better job than anyone else.
Because we lack in centre-backs, and he's sent out Carl Bartley to Rangers.
What the hell is all
that? Not a bad team.
Not a bad player.
Yeah, and not a bad player.
And we could do with it.
Most people would say he's better than Scalacci and what we've seen.
Yeah, so why did the
manager Arsene Wenger and all of his advisors...
In the January transfer window, he could have gone out and bought a centre-back, couldn't he?
He could.
Have.
And he should.
And what we've got... Apparently, you informed us earlier, we have 40 million in the bank. You could have got a half-decent centre-back for, 25% of that, couldn't you?
But if we didn't want to spend any money at all... Why did he take the piss by getting Bartley back and then reloaning him to Rangers?
I don't think he wants to admit that Squillace is not that good. He doesn't want to admit that he's got a second rate sense. You know, he wants to. He wants his. He's just bought the player and he doesn't want to say, "Well, actually, your crap, go away."
But let me ask you this, right, on Scalacci. How sure are you that he's not that good? Because let's face it, a lot of people said Alex Song was rubbish.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I was wrong.
Then they had to change their opinion.
I said
and
Thierry Henry
quite a lot of people
rubbish.
Said Theo Walcott was rubbish, and now not so many people are saying
like
that.
Scalacci, he looks a hell of a lot better next to Jury.
Yeah.
Mm.
So any sensible manager would have thought, right, I've got two players here that complement a big, tall centre-back who's good in the air. They don't play well together, but they complement a big tall player.
What's the latest on?
So why did he go out in the market and get Samba? You know, or when he signed David Wheater, who went to
Bolton.
He has
got Vermaelen.
Then he could play Scalacci or Koscielny next to that new big guy.
What is our best back four, including injured players?
Sagna,
Vermaelen, Juru, and then Clichy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Oh, really? Because I think Koscielny's. Barring a couple of big mistakes.
Koscielny's a good player.
I think Koscielny's...
He's a very good player.
Yeah, excellent. Well, alongside Juru.
Him or Juru. And for Malin, for me, obviously, you know, if he's fit. But when is he back? How long is he out for?
End of month, apparently.
It was a complication on his thingy, wasn't it?
Yeah, but going back to your question, Joe, about Scalacci, and gave Song a lot of stick. Those players were young. Scalacci's been around the block. He's a veteran centre-half. If he's not a good buyer now, he's never going to be good. It's not as if he's growing and learning every week, is it? I mean, he might have played in the English Premiership before, but the fact of the matter is, he's 28, 29, or even 31.
Where's he from? France?
Yeah.
Well, listen, French centre-backs. Sorry, it's not really a place you go to for centre-backs, isn't it?
No.
What do they say about, like, Italian lovers, French centre-backs?
No, you're right.
No, it's French cuisine, isn't it? Not centre-backs.
Joe,
I'm thinking about Laurent Blanc. He wasn't that bad, and you know, there's been a few reasonable centre backs. Desailly weren't bad.
Galas. Okay. Well, actually, now you mention it, the French are pretty good at centre backs. But you know what? There's a certain kind of mentality. There's a, you know, it's
soft.
Not, Not tough enough. It's not Tony Adams and Keown, is it?
No.
But Koscielny's quite classy.
He's very classy.
Yeah.
Very
and
classy.
Some people were slagging him off early on in the season.
I wouldn't say word against Koscielny, but he's better with a taller centre-half.
Yeah, with Juro. Him and Juro is a good combination. Yeah. I just don't know where...
Vermaelen
fits in. Vermaelen's a great player too.
Koscielny has to play with a stopper type.
Well, Squillaci, to be fair, Squillaci is fourth choice.
And Squillaci's not a stopper, is he?
No, but he's like who you bring on when everyone else, when there's no Vermaelen and no Juro.
He's like Remy Gard.
Yeah, but do you know what, Bastian? Yeah. The funny thing is that when they bought Scalacci, he wasn't fourth choice. Wenger bought him to be head of Juro. Juro worked his way into the team, like Wilshere did. Mm. And then once again, it's one of the Wenger's short-sightedness. Mm. The only reason why Juro and Wilshere were getting games was they played bloody brilliant, and Wenger couldn't drop them. Yeah. But don't forget, Wenger dropped Juro like a sack of spuds against, was it Man United when we conceded that goal, or that Tottenham game?
Yeah.
When he should have played Juro. Yeah. If they had Scalacci and Koscielny at centre half, we got beaten 3-2 by those bloody idiots.
Yeah.
So Juro was only there because he had to play, and Wenger had no other option. Scalacci's been out.
Is that a sack of spuds as in a sack of Tottenham supporters?
Yeah. So Scalacci was out injured. The only reason why him and like Juro played every single game was Wenger had to play him.
Yeah.
It was more by luck than judgment. We had a brilliant centre back pairing. Wenger had no idea.
No.
He did his way. Scalacci would have played every fucking game.
Absolutely. And towards now, the end of the season, we're about to find out whether Wenger was very stupid not to sign a player in January.
Totally. Yeah.
By the way, can I just point out that the panel, apart from me now, has had a bottle of wine each due to the fact this thing has been delayed for a long time. So, be careful, because anything can happen here.
What's your views on alcohol?
I'm with Arsene Wenger. I drink little bottles of water and then I throw them away on the pitch.
Do you not drink alcohol, Bastian?
I do refrain from alcoholic beverages.
Do you?
Yes.
What's the rationale behind that, Bastian?
The rationale is that I will fulfil my potential to its utmost and not waste a lot of time talking shit in pubs.
Did you ever drink alcohol?
I used to, yes.
Well, getting a little bit sidetracked here, so this is a good point to interject with a new sort of question.
Basti, I'm sure you're starting bibing immediately.
I would go to the pub right now. That's my recommendation to all of you. Go to the pub now. Don't listen to this shit. I open a bottle of Fentimans Victorian Lemonade, which...
Oh, is that what it is?
It actually has... Oh, no! It's got 0.5% alcohol.
See? I knew you was on something. But perhaps we need some of that to bring the people back to the Emirates Stadium, because the number of empty seats, it's been noticed, you know, home games.
By who?
Not me, personally.
Oh, can I just mention something? For all of those who didn't go to Newcastle, a friend of mine phoned me today and said that at half time, he reckons about a third of the stadium left, but they didn't show it on the TV.
Yeah, I heard.
They only showed those two leaving on Match of the Day.
Only
two,
yeah.
But apparently, at half-time, the Geordies, they all left.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so much for Northern loyalty. The fog and the tide is all mine.
I
think I would have done it if the boot was on the other foot.
Yeah, I agree.
Away from the lads. No, I wouldn't. I'd sit there and suffer on one of those masochistic Arsenal fans.
So you're not worried at all then by the fact that there are a lot of empty seats at the Emirates? In recent times,
there's 60,000 every week.
Yes.
The lowest attendance we've had is 59,000, and Tractor Production's up 20%.
They're not empty seats though. They are
paid for seats.
What's the word? They are
spiritually sat
spiritually in. Sold.
Yeah.
Because they're either season ticket holder seats who don't come. Well, that's it. They are season ticket holder seats who don't come.
And all Arsenal fans, like, over the years, you sat at Highbury and someone says, "We're sorry," and you read the paper, "We're sorry to hear about such and such has died," and Arsenal, they all come down from heaven and sit in those seats when they're free.
Yeah.
So they're not actually empty.
They're spiritually filled.
When they go like, "Oh, and tonight's crowd is 59,000, everyone goes, "Oh yeah, fucking pull the other one."
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, if they've sold 59,000 tickets,
it's correct,
and 5,000 people don't turn up, or even 10,000 people don't turn up, what can they do? Mm. If they actually if they say, right, tonight the crowd is 50,000, right?
Yeah.
Then there could be all sorts of things like
fraud.
Fraud, exactly.
No, but there's a difference between attendance and sales. They're two different words. And if you look them up in the dictionary, they have two very different meanings.
Yeah, but which club? There is no club that says today's sales are 60,150.
No, maybe they should, because it's called lying, another word in the dictionary.
Going back to Steve's point, is that when you go to a gig or a concert, if that sells out 60,000 tickets, they don't sell only 50,000 cards.
Yeah, they don't.
And each average gig, believe it or not, fact fans out there, has a 10% drop off because people don't come, sell their tickets.
Yeah.
But, they, you know, it still
doesn't matter.
So we're not going to say, oh,
given but that, then change the word, don't say attendance.
Given that 10% drop off, which for Arsenal would be 6,000,
yeah.
We're not going to say, and tonight's attendance is full 54,000, are we? Because we're going to look stupid. Because every Spurs fan will then say, oh, you couldn't sell out the Emirates. You couldn't sell out the Emirates.
Oh, no, someone, you know? No, that's not the Arsenal way, Steve.
We did fucking sell it out.
That's the Sunreader way. That's the Rupert Murdoch way, your bloody way. All that kind of, let's lie to everyone. 2 and 2 = 5, George Orwell, la-di-da-di-da. No, attendance is
because,
attendance.
That's because you don't work.
No, the Arsenal,
I do work. You don't get
I work very hard.
From Spurs
I just don't work for the man like
right.
You do.
You're not going to go to work in the morning.
I don't work for a big, no, I never go to work before 11 o'clock.
And everyone goes, oh, I see you only got 54,000 yesterday. Where were the other 6,000 then?
Yeah, but that's
you say, oh, well, I don't know. I mean, much better to put 60,000 down and then say to the Spurs fan, see, we sold out again.
Yeah, it was good to say that we beat Newcastle 5-4, but we didn't, did we? Because it would be called a lie. It's not the truth. It's not a fact. It's fiction.
So I'll tell you, it was a 4-4 draw, but we still lost.
We didn't. We drew you to it. No, see, you're even that you're lying.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have ceased
lying
to see reality. You've lost reality.
We got
you've
one
gone
point,
into the world
Steve.
Of the insane. That's what you've
we
done, Steve. You think Jeremy Clarkson should be Prime Minister.
We got,
you're a fucking nutter.
We got an ethereal point. But psychologically, that was a defeat.
Anyway,
well, it's still 60, a point. 000, anyway.
Attendance means attendance. And either you speak English or you speak the language of the I'm living in cuckoo land, which is what Arsenal do when they say today's attendance is 59,000 when clearly it's 56 or 54.
Well, talking of cuckoo land, let's talk about FIFA. And FIFA's lawmaking body, boy, they're getting together on March the 5th because I've got the dates in front of me and otherwise I wouldn't know this. But one thing I might make a law against is Sammy Nasri's snood. Do any of you
snoods,
have?
Yeah. Snoods, yeah.
What do you think about
snoods? Sammy Nasri is snood. What about Carlos?
Not
Tenzi
just
snood?
Yeah. I mean, there's
Carlos
lots of snoods.
Carlos snood is a positively shabby, horrible, evil.
No, that's his
wreck
face.
Of a garment.
Is it much worse than Sammy Nasri?
Sammy Nasri is a lovely.
You know, some people.
Rowe,
yeah, because people are calling. You know, people are calling Sammy Nasri Sammy Snood.
Yeah, but it isn't.
They're missing out the Nasri completely.
Yeah. But it isn't Tenzi's fault, is it? I mean, he was involved in quite a serious accident, I imagine. His face is quite buckled.
Yeah.
So if you can cover your face up, you're going
to
do that.
Do you remember Thierry Henry with his leg warming socks that went all the way up to. You thought he'd have a little suspender there, didn't you, really?
Yeah.
That was the thing that was missing.
I would say to those UEFA people, I would say, oi, UEFA, you're not the ones that have to go out and play in minus 10 degrees.
Minus 10? It wasn't minus 10.
Plus 9. I played Everton recently.
All right.
I mean, and if you're playing in Russia, it's going to be minus 10.
Well, maybe.
Sometimes in this country, it's minus 10. I mean, they would send those poor little footballers out with bare necks. No, I think they should be allowed to wear snoods.
Yeah, I think snoods are on.
Hang on. It's not
you've run out of emails.
Arsene Wenger's just come in and he's just saying, well, you know, I think maybe it would be a little bit more special to have a winter break so that we can all curl up in front of
winter
the fireplace.
Winter break, winter bonnets.
We could wear our snoods and, in the warmth of our own homes.
Sparky version.
Robert Perez says here, he says, Steve, can you picture me with socks rolled up past my knees with a little suspender
belt? Can you imagine Robert Perez in his prime?
Will you please touch
with a snood?
You would have got.
How brilliant!
How hard would you have got?
Fucking hell. How gorgeous Robert
can I just say something? I've got a thing that I bought in a country that I'm not going to mention because it'll set Steve off, which is not only a balaclava, but it opens at the top and turns into a snood as well.
Yeah.
So you can rob a bank and then pretend you're to rob a bank with a balaclava, then walk down the road and pretend you're Sammy Nasri.
$2.99 in Pires. In Pires, Primark.
Yeah, but Steve would hate that if Pires
mine wasn't from Primark.
Didn't you love Pires's flying lock, Steve? That's to get you excited as well, didn't
what?
Flowing locks.
Oh, flowing gorgeous locks.
Yeah.
Who's
the Italian moustache?
Yeah.
Who's
the Italian moustache?
Oh,
it's like
Bobby
a musketeer. Pires. That's where the musketeers must have come from. Yeah, Pires began
Pires
it.
For this.
Was he the only man that you probably would have sex with?
probably the only one. I ever would.
Yeah. The only one you would. Yeah, yeah, so
I bought a picture of Kev recently, which has got pride of place in my dining room.
Yeah.
Did I mention there's a big picture of Cesc Fabregas in the current edition of the Hampstead Village Voice?
But has he got a D'Artagnan moustache?
I had the play button not pressed down at the point when you said that.
Is it pressed down now?
Yes.
Oh,
so you're
God
lucky.
For that,
you've finally got it on tape.
Because this is the what bits on tape, Joe?
Just that little bit about who was it again? Yeah, Sestan Brigas being or Perez. No, we've got all of that down, so don't worry. Actually, don't worry at all. Look, I can actually, see you're Joe, worried. If you'd been drinking alcohol, you wouldn't be worried at
Joe
all.
Joe and panel, do you think Cesc Fabregas has got false front teeth?
What makes you that?
No.
His teeth are too perfect at the front, and he looks a bit like...
I think he's worn a brace.
He waxes his eyebrows, and he paints them on. Yeah. Like David Bowie's going to zig and stardust
here. He does. And I reckon his teeth are full. I reckon he's had them knocked out.
Basti, you're thinking too much. Yeah, well,
he's going to be on the Red Nose Day thing, says Fabregas. Has everyone seen
that? What's that got to do with his
teeth? They've got him in a shopping centre, and someone asks him loads of silly questions. Someone goes up to him and pretends to speak Spanish, and they go, and says Fabregas goes,
no, they're my own.
That's not Spanish. That's it.
Was he in it on the joke?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they obviously, he's in there for Red Nose Day.
All right, talking of tenuous links, I'm really going to come up with one.
Is it Red Nose this year?
No, you two have got Red Nose, all that wine you've been drinking.
Don't you? Because you're charity as well.
No, well, what no, about that no, sort of 0.5% proof stuff you've been drinking?
Am I might have had some sort of thing.
All right, let's go back to
is
Arsenal.
Is this not the Guna podcast? I didn't know it was the,
it is the Guna.
Anything but Arsenal podcast.
Well, wait a minute. We've been talking about Sami Najri's snood, and we've been talking about Arsene Wenger's successor. I might not have recorded that. I don't know. But,
something called football we used to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that too. And FIFA. Has that got anything to do with football?
Anyone who's had an opinion on snoods? What do you guys reckon?
I don't mind them. I like all the little fashions.
I've got one.
I like the wristbands, the snoods.
Yeah. No, but not the bodice. Not the full body bodice.
You've got a thing about the bodice.
What about the white polo necks they wear under the white shirt?
I don't think men should wear bodices on football pitches. Sorry.
No one's disagreeing with you.
I have a problem with tattoos.
What's the problem with tattoos?
I don't like them. Make all the players look like chavs.
And if they change clubs, that's obviously an issue as well.
That actually looks a bit like a pikey, doesn't he? That Morelis. He's got tattoos everywhere.
Oh, I like.
He looks really, really.
PC police.
Which really, really terrible.
I was upset with Wilshere when he had that big tattoo on his arm. I thought, why do that, Jack?
Yeah. I like tattoos on birds, but not blokes.
By the way, I just want to say that I've started the Travellers Arsenal Supporters Club, and we take offence at the word pikey that you just used.
Yeah, you can't use that.
Can't use that word.
That's racist, dude.
But how about the word tights? Can you use the word tights?
Yeah, tough shit,
because I have to find this link here. Because earlier we were talking about snoods, and another very
would
serious...
Would you wear a snood, Joe?
Yes, I would wear a snood.
But then your lovely flowing David Essex type locks would be under wraps.
No, but it wouldn't matter because I'd keep my neck warm and...
Would you tuck it over the snood or under the snood?
No, I'd keep... Anyone what they think's going to happen against Wolverhampton Wanderers this Saturday.
Joe asked the question. He's taking over here.
He's drunk a whole bottle of wine. He's able to be a host.
Listen, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Betsy.
All by himself.
No.
What's the crowd going to be?
Well, yes.
I don't know, but I'm going to be there. I'd say the crowd will probably be 56,000, and Arsenal's official attendance will be 59,920.
Yeah, actually, why are they announcing 59,000 just recently?
Wayfans.
When it used to be 60,000.
Wayfans don't tell
that because
right.
That would be the answer. Yeah. So, I was talking
Wolves,
about tights
if
before you
Wolves,
rudely
United,
interrupted me, Basti.
Man United draw or lose to City, we could be back in business.
They play City this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? I know.
Love it. Watch it in the pub.
Mind you, this will be 3 weeks after that. So, if you're listening to this now, listeners, this conversation is completely retrospective. You have entered the twilight zone.
Well, it depends how quick Joe is. Joe's often very quick in these podcasts. I reckon it'll be up by Thursday, Joe, won't it?
It might be up very quickly. Before you go to bed.
Yeah,
I doubt it.
Well, that will make up for pressing record. I mean, not pressing record.
And you're blaming this bottle of whatever it is I'm drinking.
No, I'm blaming you for not pressing record.
Well, that's a good point. And you're starting to sound like Clarkson, by the way. You really slagged off earlier.
Well, actually, I am Jeremy Clarkson.
In disguise
as a lefty liberal who rides a bicycle.
Have you ever seen anyone take off Jeremy Clarkson successfully as an impressionist?
No, but I have heard that he got strip searched recently.
It couldn't be that difficult,
surely. No one gets him.
But he was strip searched by security at an airport recently, which I think is brilliant. I think, and he was probably going, "Do you know who I am?" And the bloke probably said, "Yeah, you're the guy who I'm about to take your clothes
off."
You're
the bloke I'd love to nuts.
Did he get the finger out at the bottom?
I hope so.
Why would they want to strip search him? Like he's going to be a terrorist.
All right,
that speaks volumes for your political stance.
All right, may I read?
It's not because he's a terrorist; it's because he's a wanker, Steve.
No, but I know wanker or not. Like, you only strip search people if they're suspected of being terrorists
or they're arrogant wankers,
fucking communist
smugglers,
communist.
Right, no. Wait a second. Can I read this last? I mean, the way we're going with time, I think I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to read this question out Clarkson style, if I may. And I might not be able to manage it, but I'm going to give it a go anyway.
Yeah, join in.
If players wear tights, they should match the colours of their shorts. See, that's the intonation. That's the Clarkson intonation of their shorts. So, if players wear tights, they should match the colours of their shorts.
I agree.
And every single sentence he says goes, duh, duh, duh. Yeah. Which is great broadcasting. Is that that sort of
7 million viewers, Joe.
That's crap. Great broadcasting.
7 million viewers can't be wrong, can they?
No, exactly. They can't
be what
wrong.
It means is 7 million people in this country
like to hear your voice go down.
They're car driving, gas guzzling, right wing Nazis.
You're digressing again.
All right, wait a second. Let's get back onto tights. We're talking FIFA and tights.
Woo!
You've been told off now. This is a yellow card for you. No, if I was Phil Down, I'd get a red card out or something, you know, purple card perhaps?
Purple card.
Maybe that should be the same colour as the person's skin. Ooh,
Phil
I said the word skin in England. Oh, God, I'm going to be sent to Siberia. I said the word skin. I must be a racist. Jones
so I take it you're not going to answer this question,
Jones
are you, about tights?
Big purple helmet. Is that
yeah, I'm definitely...
Joe?
Oh, no, that's sexist. Women don't have helmets. No. You're not allowed to say that.
No, you certainly can't. Right.
Unless they're riding a motorcycle.
So. I do agree, though, that the tights should match the colour of their shorts. And why does... why does Chesney wear a fucking pink top?
I think they should match the colour of the away
team. Yeah, but you know why? We've been down this road before.
We discussed that last issue.
They should wear the colour of the away team
shorts. Everyone,
it should be green.
He's there. He's a goalkeeper to be recognised.
Because the last two podcasts were brilliant.
I'll tell you what, I hope everyone else here has had a bottle of wine, otherwise they're not going to get this.
Yes, you're quite right. But
you're
taking the opposite.
Arsenal fans, how many Arsenal fans would like their keeper to wear a pink shirt? Probably one.
No.
I don't care, so long as you don't let any
woman with a pink hat, that yank, wouldn't it?
She wants some, Tyler would probably like Arsenal to wear a pink shirt.
It's a good job.
What's happened to that woman with a pink hat, anyway?
Can you imagine what he'd be like with a bottle of wine? I just can't.
Hey, Pinky, how are you doing? We so miss you. Pinky!
What was her name again?
This is a psychedelic podcast.
It's gone very psychedelic.
No, sorry,
and talking of pink, the very opposite to pink is sort of vanishing spray.
Is that
a tenuous link or what? It is.
Actually, what about all the gay Arsenal fans?
Bass is looking at me like, what are you talking about?
We've entered the Gooner Zone.
Yes, we've certainly entered the Gooner Zone here. That's why I don't like hosting. So I'm saying pink. It's a very loud colour, and vanishing spray is the very opposite of a loud colour. It's sort of,
what's vanishing spray?
It disappears. I'm going to tell you about it in a minute. Just be patient. No, I'm going to read this out to you, and I'm going to try and make it sound like I'm not. No, wait. Let me read it out to you, and I'll try and make it sound like I'm not reading it. I'll do my best. Right. Yes, it had. Well, not really, but it's on my script. It's to do with FIFA, okay?
Right.
And FIFA affects Arsenal.
As the one before?
It's probably the same one from March the 5th, so I've got you there.
Right.
Steve, don't try and trip me up again like that, because you know I've underlined the details, okay?
Silver dream machine.
Yeah, you've got me there. Right? Oh, we got a newsflash!
It's George Graham. He's just saying, alright, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to buy a couple of centre backs.
Well, that's good news. But is the use of vanishing spray by referees to mark out the lines where a defensive wall should stand? Is that good news?
No, it's rubbish.
Joe, it was just another.
It's a FIFA idea.
Another
winter's. I'm not going to get into that singing business.
There's no such thing as vanishing spray.
Oh yes, there is on my script. And FIFA are also considering this.
I'm April the 1st.
I didn't know about it either, Basti. I'll be quite frank with you.
I do think that it's time now. And this Newcastle game is a case in point.
That was interesting.
The case
I'm
in
so
point,
glad you didn't 5%. Have a bottle of wine like
the case
me.
Case in point is,
and
this,
I've still got a little bit left.
It's time for, when it comes to whether the ball's crossed the line or not, or whether it's been a penalty or not, when there's a goal at stake, it's time for video evidence. I'm not having any more of it. I want, if we'd have won that game, if that penalty, which was so clearly not a penalty. By the way, 49 matches unbeaten, Sol Campbell, Wayne Rooney dives about a yard away from him, ends that. That wouldn't have happened either. We'd probably be on 100 games. We'd probably still be unbeaten by now.
Probably would.
And, you know, and I'm sorry, it's time for things like penalties, whether the ball crosses the line, not anything else, but just that, right? Is it in the net or not, or is it a penalty or not? Start with that, have that, and...
But I really can't see referees getting their little dandy little can of spray out of their handbag, spraying it along the line, you know, and then saying, oh, come on, girls, back here, 10 yards is here. And then they say, no, it ain't, ref, I can't see the vanishing.
Yeah, because they know whether they're encroaching or not. They know, but they just turn a blind eye to it.
If the referee says 10 yards, and how are they going to measure the 10 yards?
Oh, I like that thing.
With a tape measure?
On Sky.
Oh, just get my tape measure out there. Oh, amber spray.
No, but you know what's quite good?
It's fucking bollocks.
What's quite good is, I've got to say, I'm not a big fan of Sky and media and all that, but the point is, when they show a wall moving back, and they've got that little arrow thing that shows how far the wall is, that it is exactly 20... Well, it's not 10 yards. It's 10 yards, thank you. That's too much lemonade. And... that's quite good because that forces refs to know they're on telly, they know they've got to put the ball back, otherwise they're going to get caught out.
Yeah. If the players won't go back 10 yards, get the card out. Fuck the spray.
So, what's your view on objects on the pitch? There's been the Highbury squirrel has had a, the Highbury squirrel has had a mention, and also the beach ball.
The Highbury squirrel?
The Highbury squirrel.
What's the Highbury squirrel?
I thought it was a squirrel that sat around.
Just,
I thought it was a squirrel.
No, he's the Highbury spire. He's not the Highbury squirrel.
Was the Villarreal game in 2006?
Yes, I remember.
Remember?
Yeah, I do.
He's got a box.
He's got a box. What about
the bird?
Okay,
actually, he's on the board. He's making his box.
Yeah. More than likely.
No, he's
Kit man, and he's up for promotion. So what about the beach ball that Liverpool is still upset about?
The beach ball is...
How long ago was that? It's about a year and a half, was it? You've got a Scouse accent, Basti, and your repertoire of accents.
It's called beating Chelsea. Tell you what, I love beating fucking Chelsea. Like, hey, great, Nick, I can't stand you.
What about the beach balls?
Hey, I love Liverpool now because they beat Chelsea, and I fucking hate Chelsea. Mind you, how brilliant was that yesterday, though?
That was good.
How brilliant was that yesterday?
Yeah, I loved it. Chelsea! Oh. Do you know what? Since Butch Wilkins left, they've gone to pieces. Something happened in that changing room. I don't know what it is. They have gone to pieces.
There's no pace in the team, is there?
No, and now Torres has come. Of course, you know, that's going to get a bit of unsettle them all a bit, isn't
Mind
it?
Mind you, I'll have any...
Comparing pay
It's their egos. It's their egos. Yeah. Oh, he's worth 50 million. Can you imagine Drogba's ego? Someone worth more than him on the pitch.
Yeah.
If we get you walking, oh, he wouldn't know how to deal with it.
Drogba. He's 33.
Right.
Yeah, he's old, isn't he?
He'd be gone in the summer.
Past it, mate. The whole Chelsea team's past it.
Wouldn't it be brilliant next year facing Chelsea without Drogba?
Yeah, but they've got Torres.
Doesn't matter. He's not Drogba.
No, he's not. That's true. So he's not intimidating.
He's not Drogba.
So as you've not answered the beach ball question and about the Highbury squirrel and that sort of thing.
What was the question,
Joe? I was going to say, the squirrel. The question was all about should referees stop play when an object interferes with that play?
Well, obviously, traffic congestion.
But what referees shouldn't do is call a drop ball when the ball hits them, which was the weirdest thing.
That was so weird.
Yeah, very weird.
I mean, what was he doing? Making up the rules as he goes along. In fact, all the refs and linesmen, they seem to be making up the rules as they
go along.
Especially
if we're on
the
attack.
And commentators, they can't tell the difference between offside and onside. There was an incident this weekend where someone was... Oh, he's definitely offside. There was a bloke on the line. There was a defender on the line. How could he be offside?
Stoke, yesterday.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Stoke, Sunderland. In fact, he was offside because the keeper was in front of him.
Oh, the keeper was.
There was a bloke on the line. And then the Stoke player, and then the keeper. So there was only one player between the Stoke player and the goal.
Right.
Which means he was offside.
But
when the keeper strays upfield, further than the last Stoke player.
I forgot about that.
Everyone goes, just looking at the last man back.
Yeah.
Good point, Dave. I stand corrected.
He's taken 2 hours of a podcast, and that's been his first decent point there, mate.
And did you see
that's a little bit harsh, Mark. I didn't think you said harsh things.
Did you see Stoke Sunderland?
You're really coming out of your shell here. What's going on?
Stoke goal. Talk about rugby. Next time Wenger says they play rugby, look at those three goals.
Yeah, maybe
absolute
he's got a point.
Justification. The keeper was bundled off the ball every time. One of them was a handball, one was an elbow, one come off a shoulder. Every one of them in the 6 yard box, just bottling in the net. And you know what, Stoke City, you are a disgrace. Absolute disgrace to football.
And one other thing to do with FIFA, and it is also to do with Arsenal, because goal scoring opportunities. We've had a big argument about that.
Have we?
If Yeah, if a player's denied, not me and you, Mark, but if someone's denied a goal-scoring opportunity, if it's an Arsenal player denying someone a goal-scoring opportunity, it might be Scalacci.
They always go off.
They go off. They get a red card. But if it's the opposition, they get a yellow card.
Absolutely.
It's happened in a recent game.
The Barton challenge on Arshavin in the first half, if that was an Arsenal player, it would have been a borderline red.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of McComb. Was it McComb against the Huddersfield game?
Well, there was something
stayed on the pitch.
Liverpool,
and we got a penalty and no red card.
Well, Liverpool Chelsea.
What was that about?
Liverpool Chelsea game yesterday. Definite penalty at the end, right?
Oh, yeah.
If that was Arsenal.
Oh God, it would have been given.
Yeah,
of course, absolutely,
of course.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there were three penalties yesterday Chelsea should have had. Yeah. If Phil Dowd was refereeing that game against us, they all would have been given.
Oh, definitely.
We would have lost 3-1.
Yeah, no, it's the inconsistency of the officials. It's just, you know what? Well, it was put forward, I think, in the Gula podcast once, that all the referees should come from different countries. We should have Italian refs or whatever all coming over. No English refs in England.
I'll tell you what would be great. Kolina, every match.
He's retired now, mate.
I know, but we bring him out of retirement and let him referee every match. He's far better than any of us.
Just like Steve.
Do you ever notice why we're getting so many bad decisions off refs this year? Mike Riley is in charge of them, and Mike Riley is the biggest mank going. Yeah. And who are the mank's biggest challengers? Us.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, there's been an awful lot of bad decisions going against Arsenal this season.
I do like the way, though, match of the day, the whole first half of the season, right? They're all sitting there going, Arsenal didn't exist. We're like, gone. It's all like, Chelsea and all this, that, and the other, right? Yeah. Man City, last week, you know, Hansen had to come out, there's only one challenger, there's Arsenal. He hated it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, it's great that we're a challenger this season so far. The email address, of course.
The
night is young and we don't want it getting any older. No. The email address for any communications about the podcast. Shut up, Mark, for God's sake. Have we got an email? No, we've got no emails coming through. He's done his Canadian accent. He's done his South African accent. I think he's run out of accents. He even stuck a Scouse accent in there somewhere. And it was no email from a Scouser that I recall.
Mike says this has been the worst podcast I've ever had so far. You're all fired.
No more Chinese takeaways for you lot.
An email from Kev. It says, about time you called this to a halt, you fucking wankers.
Yeah, 42 minutes. Tonight. You're pushing 42 minutes, don't you realise? Oh no.
Got a newsflash. A newsflash is the podcast is about to end. Thank God for that.
And right, Kev, thank you, Basti. Close it for us.
All right, I think.
Close it then, shitty.
Kev's got the authority to let me tell everyone about the email address.
We've got one last email coming. There's Joe Broadfoot. You've got a small penis.
No, small feet. You always talk about my feet. You never ever talk. You never ever. This is the first time you've ever talked about
I've
that
got
area.
Size 12 feet.
As an exercise in self-indulgence, this is right up there with the second Terence Trent D'Arby album.
Neither fish nor fish.
Which didn't sell.
Neither fish nor fish.
It was indeed. Anyway,
no one's got that.
I have tried to ask questions about Arsenal a couple of times. Sir, I'm the good boy, sir.
You get all the kids from the back of the class. What's that?
Is that Ashford?
You've been egging each other. I suppose you've been the best behaved, Mark. But that's. I have to include Joe Broadfoot in that, who encouraged the off topic at times.
Yeah, however, I did go a little bit.
When all is said and done, the reason we are here is to promote the fanzine called The Gooner.
No, we're not.
And the reason, well, you are.
I think we failed at that, Kev.
Well, I'm here to just make sure that listeners are aware that issue 213 goes on sale at the first leg of the Champions League last 16 game against Barcelona.
Guess the result.
On Wednesday, the 16th of February.
Back to,
all I will say, listeners, is that if we look like we are going to be playing Scalacci in central defence, I think a bet on an away win may win you money. Anyway.
And if Danielson's sort of his bodyguard.
No, he won't play Danielson.
We've all shut up now, the headmaster's come.
Sir.
We're behaving ourselves.
I think while the going's good, we're going to wrap this up. However, The main reason we're here is to promote the Guna, so there is a new issue out.
Can we give our predictions to the Barcelona Champions League
game? Why not? Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead then. Should we start with Steve?
Can't right. We do okay. Let's go. Let's go. Home and away. Oh.
Right. Home 0-3.
Ow.
Away 1-4.
Okay.
So we're going to lose 7-1.
Mark.
7-1. I'd say at home we're going to lose 2-1. Away going to lose 5-0.
Basti.
I'm going to be unfashionably optimistic, and I'm going to say 1-1 here, 1-0 to Arsenal there.
Wow.
My God, you've had too much lemonade.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have whatever. Whatever Basti's having, Ken.
I still believe.
Whatever Basti's having, we should have
Messi,
shooters.
Messi will get the runs the night before one of the games.
Why does Messi never get injured?
That reminds me.
No, why doesn't he get injured? Maybe now's the time.
Yeah, you know what? It's bound to happen one day.
John Barton doesn't play in Spain.
No, right. Really, no, that was a lie, actually. What I really think is, seeing as that the way we played, remember that last home game we had against them? How we were nearly completely destroyed at home.
Yeah.
I would say we'll probably be destroyed in both legs.
Yeah.
So what's your aggregate score? So
I think one leg, personally.
Aggregate score 2-1 to Arsenal. We're only joking again, double bluff.
Right.
We're going to win the Champions League.
Home leg, Arsenal 2, Barcelona 4. Away leg, they will take it a bit easy, and it will be Barcelona 2, Arsenal 0.
Joe Ball,
I'm seeing 1-1, 1-1 at home. Oh. We'll lose the away leg by 2 goals. I'm not sure. We might nick a goal. Lose 3-1.
We'll do what we did last time. Bentner will score. And
then we get all excited for nothing.
Yeah. We don't want to score first.
That's how I'm
saying. I just want that game out of the way, both of them.
They're almost unwinnable. I hate saying that.
You know what?
Almost unwinnable.
We're almost bound to win it now. Yeah. We're so like down. This is like going to the final against Parma.
I'll settle for the Carling Cup.
But why, when Arsenal are playing Barcelona, is it like Stevenage versus Barcelona? Why for once can't we take him on an equal level?
If Dura was playing, definitely.
And it's also because our manager might
feel we have a chance.
It's like going to a brothel with like 2p in your pocket, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a good analogy. Well, I love that.
Absolutely, Mark.
If there's no chance, but you're going to get fucked.
We are going to get fucked.
Yeah, we can go to a brothel.
Talking of F, let me just drop it down a letter to E. Email. The email address for any communications about...
Yes. And sexist nature.
No. We don't want any of those sort of...
about the word brothel.
No. All right. Wait.
GunaPodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for that, Kev.
George Martin's just...
And thanks.
Hey, I'll tell you
thanks.
What. Yeah, we're the Beatles. Yeah.
We won't be going on anywhere unless you shut up.
Still having fun.
Thanks to the panel. And, my name is Joe Broadfoot.
No, you're Kev.
Right,
I'm Joe Broadfoot.
Tell them your name.
Yeah, my name's Joe Broadfoot. And thanks
not,
to the panel.
Diaby,
I'm Diaby. All right, call me Diaby for today.
Joe.
What about our sponsors? quick. Forget about the emails coming in. Just tell me about the sponsors.
If anyone wants to know what Kev's like, he's like that sixth form tutor in the in-betweeners. That fella that they all hate.
I've got you to enough away games with a bit of authority, Mr. Ashford.
Before we end, an email has just come in from a Barry Johnson, and he says, "Dear Joe, I think you're very, very sexy. Please, can you rub your hair all over my chest? Lots of love, Barry."
All right.
Excellent.
But he didn't leave any contact details, so I can't get back to him.
He has got his contact. I didn't read him out.
Are you sure?
That was a rather homosexual comment, wasn't it?
No, again.
Well, he's been looking at my feet since day one. Let's just have it out now.
Right, I'm getting out of here. This is Don Sebastiano saying it's good night from them.
And Mark says...
I would say goodbye, but I'm really not joking. Another email's coming in. Goodbye, everyone.
Oh, he said goodbye. That's a result. Okay, Steve.
Goodbye, everyone, even though they wouldn't let me do my German jokes.
And I'm going to say goodbye, and I think Kevin should say goodbye because he's had to intervene quite a lot tonight.
Yes, my apologies to all those who don't get these in jokes, but...
drink more wine.
I suppose more alcohol would make this more sensible.
I'd probably try something stronger, actually.
All right.
Crack cocaine.
So, my thanks to everyone listening, and I think we'll finish with our traditional song, hey?
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-di, all good friends and jolly good company. Well, hey!